Praise the Lord. Well, it is good to be here with you tonight. Glad you came. Like Sheila said, this is fall break for us here at the school. So we got a number of people out that are affiliated with the school, but we are glad you're here with us for our Wednesday Bible study. Praise the Lord. We encourage you to open, if you will, to 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. This is, I believe, part 7 of our message series that we've been on. And we've been taking a look at some things here. But 1 John 5:18 says, "He that is begotten of God," everybody say, "That's me."
That's me.
"He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not." Somebody say, "He can't touch me." Now, you got to be okay with saying that boldly and loudly, that he can't touch you. Because that's the reality that we live in. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I wouldn't say that too loud, Pastor John." Listen, I'm saying it for the devil's benefit. I'm saying it for his benefit so that he knows exactly where I stand, exactly what I believe, exactly what I'm going to do. I'm saying it for his benefit that he can't touch me. We say, "Well, how can you be so bold?" Well, because I have God's word on it, and it says, "He that is begotten of God." Well, let's just stop right there. That's us, isn't it? Now, I think I know most everybody in the room. That's you. We're begotten of God. So he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. So the qualifying factor here is, are you keeping yourself? And so that's what we've spent the last 6 messages on, and we're going to continue on tonight talking about, is what does that mean to keep yourself? What does that mean to keep yourself? And so we left off talking about some things that I believe blessed us, helped us a little bit, but we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the importance of being a word person. See, if I could, think about this. What would you think if I said that I could tell you something tonight that would keep the devil out of your affairs forever? You know, if our board was working out here, and we advertised that on the board, and I put that on the board, we put it out on social media, and we just got the word out, that I can tell you something tonight that would keep the devil out of your affairs forever. I guarantee you there'd be more people in this building than that. Because we all deal with things in our life, and we all deal with tests and trials and situations. Of course, the underlying statement is not everybody knows where those difficulties come from, and they confuse the matter. One of the greatest revelations, and I think Pastor Mark referred to it Sunday morning, but one of the greatest revelations I ever got in life was when I went to Oral Roberts University, and Oral Roberts got up, and maybe you grew up listening to this, I didn't. But he got up, and one of the first things that he declared was that God is a good God, and he's ready to do something good for you. Or he would say, something good is going to happen to you today. Well, that was a revelation to me, because I had a different picture. Now listen, I was in church growing up. My parents had us in church, and so I was around the Word. But you know, sometimes religious tradition can teach you some things that aren't necessarily true. You know, such as God's up in heaven ready to bonk you upside the head with a hammer every time you miss it. He's ready to punish you. But that's not the God we serve. See, God is a good God, and he's ready to do good things for you. But see, there's another side to that. The Bible tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I am come to give you life. Well, you got to know who your enemy is. I said, you got to know who your enemy is. And you got to know who's ready to bring the good things to you. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He goes on to say in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, that, I'm telling you, that'll change your life. It all starts with that revelation that God is good, the devil's bad. That's basic Christianity, and not everybody understands that. Come on now. You know, there's a scripture, we're talking about being a word person, there's a scripture in Proverbs 19:23 that says, the fear of the Lord, and see, we talked about fearing God, we talked about that a little bit, in several messages ago, but the fear of the Lord tends to life, that is Zoe life, life as God lives it. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it, that is the fear of God, he that has a wholesome respect for God, he that has a reverence for God, he that has it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. Well, that's just another way of saying he that keeps himself, the wicked one, can't touch you. It's just another way of saying it. So notice it says that if you fear God and you have that wholesome fear, then you abide satisfied and you shall not be visited with evil. Now that word visited is interesting. I saw something this afternoon I'd never seen before. I looked up that word. I'm a word guy. I like to study words out and their original origin, and because sometimes you can miss something just by glancing over a scripture, so I like to take it and break it down. Well, that word visited is a Hebrew word that literally means an unwelcome visitor. It literally means to be subjected to suffering from an unwelcome visitor. Anybody ever had visitors at your house that you were subjected to suffering because they came to your house? I remember years ago, when Sheila and I first moved here, there was a couple that we were trying to get to know in the church, and we reached out, invited them over, and after about 2:30 in the morning, I finally told Sheila, I said, I'm going to put my pajamas on, and I'm going to bed. And she gave me this look like we're divorcing first thing in the morning. But I said, I can't do this anymore. You know, some people couldn't take a hint. You ever had those people? They just can't take a hint. And, you know, when it got past 10:30, I think the hint should have been made. But this was 2:30, and now they were unwelcome, and now I was being subjected to suffering because of their visitation. All right? So don't worry, it wasn't any of you. These people hadn't been around for years. God bless them. But notice it says, he shall not be visited with evil. When? When you fear God. When you have a wholesome respect for the Lord. When you do what his word says. You shall not be subjected to suffering from an unwelcome. And he is an unwelcome visitor, by the way. Right? We also saw in Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So there's a number of scriptures that we've touched on, but what I want you to get is that if the devil has any place in your life, you gave it to him. You gave it. You gave him access. Now, sometimes that's not easy to hear. But that's all right. Pull up your big boy britches, big girl britches. You can handle it tonight. If the devil has any place in your life, you gave it to him. Because we don't ever have to fall prey to the enemy's attacks if we shut every door, close every window, and seal every place in our lives through which the enemy tries to gain access, we can, in fact, prevent him from getting into the middle of our affairs. And see, that's our whole goal, isn't it? I said that's our whole goal. And so tonight we're going to talk about being a word person. What does that mean? Well, you know, I'm a Mustang person. You know, maybe you like old cars, maybe you like new cars, maybe you like trucks, you know, maybe where I grew up, everybody drives these big Suburbans, you know, they're Chevy people where I grew up, but so they're Chevy people, maybe you're a Ford person, you know, whatever it is, I'm a Mustang guy, and so I like everything about them. I'm on my third convertible Mustang, and so I've had them for years, for probably close to 20 years now, I've driven a convertible Mustang. And I've gone out, even when it comes time to trade in for a new one, they come out with a new body style that I like or something, I'll go out and I'll try them all. I've driven the Camaro and I've driven the Charger and the Challenger and, you know, I've driven all of them, and they don't tickle my fancy like the Mustang does. Well, I like everything about the Mustang. And so, you know, I know everything about it. I know when they first came out. I know about the original colors, and I know it all. Because I am a Mustang person. And again, maybe you're a Chevy guy. Maybe you're a truck person. Maybe you're one of these that maybe you're a motorcycle guy. Well, all that simply means, if you say that I'm a Mustang person, that means that that's my go-to. That's what I think about. That's what I lean towards. So if we're going to say that we are a Word person, then what we are going to say is that we know everything about the Word. The Word is the first area that we go to. That's where we lean. We tend to say, what does the Word say? So tonight what we're going to look at is if we're going to keep ourselves, remember this is message 7. So if you haven't been here, you haven't listened, go to the website, go to YouTube, listen to those early messages. They'll help you out. They'll help you get caught up. But what we're looking at is how do we keep ourselves? See, the Bible again says that he that is begotten of God keeps himself and the wicked one can't touch you. So that we do have a responsibility, and that is to keep ourselves. So what does it mean to keep ourselves? We've talked about walking in the love of God. That's one of the last things we talked about. When you choose to walk in the love of God, you're keeping yourself and the wicked one can't touch you. We talked about fear in God. We talked about not getting into fear. We talked about abiding in Him. All of those things are good, but tonight we're looking at being a person of the Word. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love your law, or that love the Word of God. Nothing shall offend them. The word offend is it's a word that means, it's a biblical term that means to trap, to capture. It's a biblical term for Satan's attempts to capture believers and to make them prisoners to fear, to make them prisoners to poverty, to sickness, to anger, to lust, to insecurity, to emotional distress. All of those things is what it means to be offended in this particular case. So the Bible says when you love the Word of God, great peace as opposed to what? As opposed to being offended. As opposed to being captured, trapped, opposed to being a prisoner to all of these things, you get to have great peace. Can you see that? I tell you, something else, you know, when you talk about being a trap to things, something that you hear, you know, again, sickness, anger, lust, insecurity, emotional distress, anxiety is the word of the day, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You hear more people talk about their stress, my anxiety, my stress. It just baffles me. Not just the fact that we're talking about stress, it's the my part. My stress, my anxiety. Well, as a child of God, you don't need to accept that. You don't need to take that. You don't need to make that a part of your DNA and who you are. You need to quit owning that. In fact, what you need to do is what we're talking about tonight, and you need to get into the Word, because the Bible tells us, great peace have they which love the Word, nothing shall offend them. What is that saying? You won't be trapped. You won't be trapped by the enemy's attacks. You won't be bound to stress and anxiety. That's a whole other message, isn't it? Great peace. Great peace. Here's the remedy. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. What are we talking about? We're talking about stayed on the Word. We're talking about staying with the Word. I love what it says in Jeremiah 1:12. Jeremiah 1:12, they'll put it up because we're going to go through this pretty quick. But Jeremiah 1:12 says, then said the Lord unto me, you have seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I like one translation says, you make it good in my life. How does that come about? As you love the Word. Isaiah 55:11 in the Amplified says, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work that I sent them to do, and they'll complete the assignment that I gave them. Well, what's it talking about? When you make the Word your priority. When you make the Word your go-to. So he can be trusted, and his word is his guarantee. He's going to make sure of it. But you have to be convinced of that of yourself. You know, I like as you go through different passages, you see different responses to the Word. How many of you know how you respond to the Word matters? You know, you can come in here tonight, and you can listen to me preach, and you can see a few scriptures up here. But you know, if you don't apply the Word that you hear tonight, it doesn't make a difference in your life. You're coming in here and you're leaving just the same as you came in. Well, it should never be that way. You know, any time I get up to preach, I'm not just preparing to give you a message. I'm like, Lord, show me something. If there's something I need to see. I was talking to Sheila this afternoon. There's a particular area that I'm praying about. And I was like, Lord, if there's something I need to see, show me. Let me see it. Because I'm not perfect. I'm a man. I miss it. Sometimes we can go a different direction than we're supposed to. So what you got to do is you got to be open to correction. If you allow the Word to be your go-to and you're a Word person, then allow the Word to make the difference. Allow the Word to be the thing that's going to make the difference in your life. So notice he says in his Word that he's going to bring it to pass. So how you respond matters. You know, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul is talking about the church at Thessalonica. Well, if you do any study in this particular passage, this is a young church. This is what many call an infant church. And so Paul is referring to an infant, young Thessalonica. In other words, these believers are new believers. And so Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." So Paul is saying the word is making a difference in your life because you didn't receive it as words of mine, but as words of God. Oh, I tell you, every time you come into these doors, whether I'm preaching, Pastor Mark, Miss Margaret, Miss Sheila, Kayla, whoever's preaching, you ought to make sure for yourself that we're telling the truth. And then you ought to make sure that you're hearing from God. Listen, I'll boldly say, if you ever hear me something, say something that's not in the Word of God, tell me. Tell me. But I'm a Word person. You're gonna hear at least 25, 30 scriptures every single time that I preach, because it's not my opinion that makes the difference. It's God's Word. God's Word is what makes the difference. Right? So notice he said, he thanks God because when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. In other words, when you choose to believe it, it's effective in your life. Amen. Are you with me? In the Passion Translation, it says, the word continues to be an energizing force in you who believe. Well, you got to stay with it. I said, you got to stay with it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Another passage of Scripture, look over at Acts 17. Acts 17, again, how you receive the word, what you do with the word once it's received makes a difference also. Acts 17, verse number 10. Says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming together went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, we just talked about the Thessalonians, didn't we? What did he say about the Thessalonians? He said, I thank God because when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but it is the word of God which effectually works in you. So he had already been bragging about the Thessalonians. But yet here he's talking about the Bereans. Then he says, the Bereans, verse 11, were more noble even than the Thessalonians, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Well, Paul and his team first preached in Thessalonica when they were establishing that church. So that was their baby. You see, Thessalonica was their baby. That was, you know, that's what he's referring to. And he says, these Bereans are even more noble than them because they get into the Word daily. They search the Scriptures whether those things be so. You know, nothing pleases me more than to see somebody taking notes, because what that tells me is that you're going to take those notes and you're going to go check me out. And if you're not, that's no judgment against you, but you still ought to be checking me out. More importantly, you ought to be checking it out for yourself. Because I know, like what Sheila does, she'll take these notes and then she'll go home and she'll read it again. And she'll study it again. And she'll read after it again. Brother Gary's taking notes over there, but he's going to go read it again. He's going to go that man takes some good notes. There's times when Pastor Mark and I have gone to Brother Gary and said, hey, what did I say when I said it? And he can tell it. Well, that's somebody that's searching the Scriptures daily, whether those things be so. Are you with me? So he's talking about the Bereans, and he's saying they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things be so. Notice, with all readiness of mind. See, if I said, turn to this particular Scripture, and you say, well, I've been hearing that Scripture for the last 30, 40 years. I know everything about that. Well, you're not in readiness of mind mode. If you ever come in, you hear, we're going to talk about faith. Oh, man, I've been hearing about faith all my life. You're not in readiness of mind mode. Because the Lord can show you something you've never seen before. Guarantee it. I said guarantee it. So they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things be so. Even Jesus himself in John 5:39 says, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Well, what's the Scriptures? It's his word. He's saying, test me, prove me, search it out. Amen. What are we talking about? We're talking about the fundamentals. You know, this Bible is fundamental to what we believe. This Bible. Say, what do you believe? Believe that right there. And if it's in that right there, that's what I believe. Right? And if somebody tells you something that's not right there, what do you do with it? You throw it out. You say, thank you. I appreciate that. I've heard people tell me things, but I had somebody tell me something a couple weeks ago after a message, and I appreciated the encouragement, but they told me something that I just decided for myself that I was just going to put it up on a shelf because that just didn't line up and agree with me for now. Because it doesn't line up with the Word. Now maybe things will change, maybe situations will change, and I'll say, hey, I remember somebody telling me something, and that lines up with the Word, and I agree, that lines up with what's going on right now. Right? But if it doesn't line up with the Word, you ought to just throw it out. I said you ought to just throw it out. It's the most fundamental thing for the believer. Here's something funny, and I like reading after, I read a bunch of sports books, but anybody know who Lou Holtz was? Yes. Lou Holtz is, he's still around, but he's not coaching anymore, but he coached South Carolina and coached a number of places, William and Mary, and probably most famous for coaching the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And so he wrote this book, Winning Every Day. If you're looking for a good devotional book or something to read, it's really good, informative, and I'm not going to say that he's a godly man in the sense that if you buy this, it's going to give you a devotion for the day with Scripture. But he's a good man and has a lot of good things that we can apply in our life. But he says something here that's interesting, because I'm talking about the Word being fundamental to our faith. You know, being a Word person. If you're a Word person, you're going to keep the enemy out of your life, guaranteed. But he says this. He said, whenever I stress the importance of fundamentals, I like to tell the story about the guy who walked into a pet shop to buy a bird. He noticed several of them were listed at $1.90. And when he went to buy one, the pet store owner said, you don't want one of those birds. I have an ideal bird here for you, and it's only $692. So the guy looked at the bird and said, why, it's just like all those other birds. How come it's so expensive? The store owner replied, oh, but this bird is different. It can talk and it can sing. The other birds just sit there. The guy thought for a minute and said, gee, that's a lot of money, but I live alone and I'd love to have the company. So he bought the bird for $692. The next day, the customer returned to the store and found the owner and complained, I paid $692 for that bird, and it doesn't talk, and it certainly doesn't sing. The owner said, well, sir, what did the bird do after you rang the bell? The customer said, what bell? The owner said, the bell. The bird rings to tune himself. If he can't tune himself, he can't talk or he can't sing. I've got a bell here for you, and it's only $23. So the customer purchased the bell. He returned irate the next day and complained, my bird rings the bell, but he still doesn't talk, and he still doesn't sing. The owner replied, that's impossible. I have the same type of bird as you. Why, just the other day, he got up, rang the little bell, ran up and down the ladder. The guy stopped and said, wait, what ladder? The owner said, oh, you mean to tell me that you didn't buy the ladder? That bird won't talk or sing unless he first gets his exercise on the ladder. We have a ladder, and it's on sale for you today for only $27. Well, the guy bought the ladder, and over the next 3 days, the storekeeper sold him a mirror, a swing, a bird bath, and a pecking tree. And at the end of the week, the customer returned in tears and told the storekeeper, my bird finally talked this morning. He woke up, rang the bell, ran up and down the ladder, pecked at the tree, swung on his swing, kneeled over in his bath, and just before he died, he looked over at me and said, couldn't you at least buy any bird seed? Fundamentals matter. Well, for the life of a believer, this matters. I said, for you, as a believer, as a Christian, this is fundamental to what you believe. And if you don't know what your Bible says, and you don't take the time to get into it, and you don't have a devotional life, what do you think is going to happen? You're given access to the enemy. See, if you don't want him to touch you, if you don't want to give him access, then you be a person of the word so that when things come up in your life, you can boldly declare, no, not today. Not today. You're not doing that today. Why? Because you are the one that has control over what's going on in your life. It's the most fundamental. It's the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s of Christianity, and it's right here. Amen? Praise God. And you understand we're expected to grow, we're expected to go from a beginner to an expert. Now, I don't claim for a minute to be an expert because every time that I get up, I pray, Lord, show me something I've never seen before. Well, that doesn't make you an expert if you're asking, Lord, let me see something else. But I'm certainly not a beginner. Listen, when Sheila and I first got together, I mean, Bible school. When I went to Bible school, I had to do the little tabs on the end of my Bible because I didn't know the books of the Bible. Well, I was 20 years old, somewhere 19, 20 years old, I forget, when I got to school. But I couldn't, besides Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I couldn't tell you where a book of the Bible was. Grew up in church, you know. I mean, I went to church. It's not like I never went before. But and I'm sure at some point in time, a teacher tried to teach me the books of the Bible. But I couldn't turn to a scripture to save my life. And so when Sheila and I got together, she started challenging me. I would say things and she'd say, where's that in the Bible? And I'd say, well, I don't know. Or I'd say something and I'd just, well, that's just what I believe. And she'd say, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, that's just what I believe. Well, where's that in the Bible? Well, that's just what I believe. Well, why do you believe that? Well, that's what this person said, or this is what that person said. Well, where's that in the Bible? Where's that in the Bible? Come on now. So I'm not there anymore. I'm a little bit further along. I've read the Bible through a few times. Again, not an expert. Don't pretend to be. But I know a little bit more than I did then. You know, the Lord expects you to grow. You know, the Bible talks about being babes in Christ. How He wanted to feed you the meat of the Word, but you're still stuck on the milk of the Word. Well, that's all right. Everybody's at different levels. But it is important for you to grow in the Word. It is important to understand the basics, but it is important for you to move on to healthier things. Right? How many of you are glad you're saved? If you're saved and you know it, raise your hand, you know? But that's the basics of Christianity. Knowing that you're saved is going to help you today. But knowing that Jesus is not only your Savior, but He's also your healer, He's your defender, all of those things, it just adds to your life. And the more that you know, the more that you benefit from the Word that you know. It's important. So it's important to grow. It's important to progress. Anybody ever seen one of those books for dummies? Anybody ever read one of those books for dummies? You know, whenever you're trying to do the shortcut to try to figure something out? You know, I looked that up today because I was thinking about, you know, the basic fundamentals, being the Word, and how people try to shortcut things. But, you know, the Book for Dummies, did you know there's over 1,950 different books for dummies? I looked that up today, and that was as of 2016. I'm sure there's a lot more than that now. But the whole idea behind those books is they advertise transforming the hard to use into easy to understand language. Transforming the hard into easy to understand language. Listen, this is not hard to understand. Right? Anybody disagree with me? Yeah, maybe if you get over here in Leviticus and Nehemiah and Zephaniah, and you get into all the ayahs, you know, it can be a little bit challenging. Or maybe if you get into Revelation and you don't understand some things, it can be a little challenging. But there is nothing hard about this thing. And the reason I say that is because God means what He says. And He says what He means. So if He says that it's His desire that you be healed, you don't have to debate that. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, 3 John 2. Guess what? He means it. So you don't have to break that down. You don't have to figure that out. You don't have to take that to a bunch of scholars. And you don't. All you got to do is say, you know what? He made this easy for me. Beloved, that's you and I. I, God, wish above everything that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's easy stuff. You don't need one of those 1,950 books of dummies for dummies to figure that out. That's the basics of Christianity. But there are things that we need to move on to, more things that could benefit us, and they're all found right here. And as you gain access, then again, you keep the devil out of your life. See, we grow as we're able to digest what is being fed to us, heartier meals, and the way that you do that is the more that you get into the Word. I remember when I was a kid, you know, before I ever started reading my Bible on a regular basis, my mom had one of these Scripture of the Day boxes. You ever seen one of those? Anybody got any of those at their house? A few of you? You know, and so there was like a 365, I guess, 365 of these little cards. Or it was half that amount because there was a Scripture on each side, wasn't there? And so you would pull one out and you'd say, this is the Scripture of the Day. Well, thank God for that. I began to learn a little bit of the Word by reading those Scripture of the Day. But see, a Scripture of the Day isn't going to get it done for me today. That's just not going to get it. And so I have a time of Bible study. First thing I do, I go brush my hair a little bit and get ready to see myself. Listen, Sheila laughs at me all the time because I can be at the house, nobody coming over, and I'll go get ready. It's just my thing. So I'll brush my hair and go fix a cup of coffee, and I'll go upstairs, and I spend at least 30 minutes in study, and then I'll go walk for probably 30 minutes in prayer. And so that's what I do. So I don't do the Scripture of the Day thing anymore. That's what I do. And then, of course, if I'm preparing a message like today, then I have a more intensive time of study. That's not my devotional time like in the morning. There's a difference. And so, you know, throughout the week, we're getting into the Word. We're hearing messages here. So you're going from the Scripture box to careful study of the Word. And as you do that, then again, what we're doing is we're digesting the Word, and the more that you know, the more that you're able to keep the enemy out of your life. I like the way it's said different places, but in Ezekiel in particular, turn over to Ezekiel. Somebody say, I love the Word. I'm telling you, this will make a difference in your life if you allow it to. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 8. Says, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Notice that. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. Look at chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that you find, eat this roll, and then go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause your belly to eat, and fill your bowels with this roll that I give you. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as a honey for sweetness. What's he talking about? Eating the Word of God. But notice what he did. Before he went to the people, what did he do? He got into the Word. Did you see that? He said, before he went to the people, before you speak unto the house of Israel, eat the Word. Eat the Word. That's good advice to you and I, isn't it? Before you go to work and see the people, eat the Word. Before you have that family function that you're not looking forward to, eat the Word. Before you go to deal with that challenging situation, eat the Word. Why? Because it'll keep the enemy out every time. I said it'll keep the enemy out. And as we get older, we develop a taste for certain foods. You know, we prefer certain tastes. And it's an important thing to develop a taste for the Word. Right? Are you following me? Jeremiah 15, 16 says, Your words were found, and I did eat them, for your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I heard a man say one time, What bread is for your body, God's word is for your spirit. What bread is for your body. Now that was before, obviously, you know, we had gluten and white flour and all the stuff that we're not supposed to eat anymore. You know, that's just good old bread. I'm a good old bread guy. You bring me a good old loaf of bread. Christina made me a homemade loaf of bread. She brought it to me when it was hot last week. Oh, my goodness. She became my favorite child right there all in that moment. So don't let Matthew convince you otherwise. She was my favorite because she brought me a warm roll of bread, loaf of bread. Amen. Praise God. So your words were found and I did eat them. Your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 119, 97 says, Oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation all the day. Glory to God. Look over at Proverbs chapter 4. Why are we saying all this? Because you need to become a person of the word. This needs to be your go-to. This, what's in the word. Proverbs 4:20. Says, My son, attend to my words. Literally means to lean in. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Lean in. Give it undivided attention. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's another way of saying the Word causes your life to work. The Word causes your life to work. Amen. Look over at Psalm 119. You still with me? We'll just skip through several of these. Psalm 119, verse number 2. Says, Blessed are they that keep His testimonies or His word, that seek Him with their whole heart. Verse 4, For you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Verse 6, Now again, I'm skipping through here, but listen, Psalm 119, that's a book. There's a lot to Psalm 119, and I encourage you to go read it. But these particular passages have to do with the word. Verse 6, Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. Verse number 9, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10, With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11, Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse number 15, For I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 17, Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Verse 24, Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Verse 25, My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to your word. Verse 28, my soul melts with heaviness, or for heaviness, strengthen thou me according to your word. Verse 38, establish your word unto my servant who is devoted to your fear. Verse 41 and 42, let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to your word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Now listen, that's just one page, two pages of Psalm 119, and all of that talked about the importance of his word. Go read the whole chapter. There's a lot to say, talking about the importance of the word of God, talking about the power of God's word and working in the heart of a faith-filled person. When you do that, then you renew your mind according to the word. And as you renew your mind according to the word daily and fill your heart with faith, you begin to approach every situation in your life without fear, shutting the devil out of all of your affairs. You see that? It's so important. Be a person of the word. Be a person of the word. Amen. Glory to God. When tests and trials come to your life, where do you go? Where do you go? Instead of crying out, what are we going to do? You just decide to say, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust His word. I'm going to act like God's word works. When we all face the tests and trials, and trust me, they all come to us. They all come to us. Or another way to say, they all come to us all. They come to us all. But if you're word-oriented, the first thing that you should consider is, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Everybody stand to your feet. Glory to God. I like that verse 24, your testimonies, that is the Word. Thy testimonies, or your Word, that's my delight and my counselor. Well, you go to counselor when you need help, don't you? You go to counselors whenever you need advice. Well, the very first place you should go is the Word of God. And know this, it's time that you stop discussing the problem and start talking about the solution. Sometimes one of the best things that you could do to keep the devil out of your affairs is just quit talking. Quit talking about the problem. Quit talking about the situation that you're dealing with, and just start choosing to say what God says. Glory to God. Whenever you choose what His Word says, and the more you talk about what His Word says, the smaller the problem becomes. Guaranteed. But the more you talk about the problem, the bigger it seems. Well, faith acts like the Bible, so, isn't it? You know, it's amazing to me how things seem to work out when we act like the Bible's true and we change the way we talk. Right? I've seen it happen over and over. I know a number of years ago, gosh, I don't even know how long it's been now, three and a half years ago, my brother passed away. And a lot of y'all know that. And during that time, man, I was a mess. I was dealing with some things and caused some medical issues in my own life just because of dealing with the stress, like we were talking about in the beginning, and taking on the cares and the anxieties and getting into fear. And man, I ended up going to the doctor and all it came down to was because I started thinking about things that weren't in line with the Word of God. Started evaluating things that were not Word-oriented. And so I'm telling you, the way that I got out of it was I got into the Word. And I got me a notebook. And I actually got that notebook when my brother was in ICU. And I started writing scripture, the healing down, and passing those along to his wife and meditating on it. You know, if you're going to pray, you got to know what you're praying for. And so I started meditating on healing scriptures and started getting this together. And so anyways, I started me a notebook, and all it was is where I had handwritten scriptures out. And so whenever I was dealing with this in my life, I started dealing with script. Listen, the devil was talking to me about my life ending just like his did, about my life ending prematurely. And medically, there wasn't anything wrong with me. I started going to the doctors, and all the doctors looked at me and said, well, I guess you could eat a little better. I mean, I guess you could, you know, if you're here, you're doing this for preventive things, and so maybe exercise more, or maybe not take on so much stress, or maybe, you know, it was maybe, but it was like, there's nothing wrong with you. But what I started doing was started getting into the Word, and I started writing down scriptures. Listen, I got several pages on long life. How many of you know it's good to know that God has guaranteed us a long life? We all need to hear that. But when you become a person of the Word and you determine for yourself that this is going to be the final answer in my life, right here, what does the Word say? Then listen, you'll live a long life. You'll keep the devil out of the middle of your affairs. You won't deal with the tests and the trials and the challenges like everybody else. You'll overcome them victoriously. Why? Because His Word gives you the victory. His Word gives you the battle plan. Be a person of the Word. Can you do that? Glory to God. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Your Word, as always, is life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to believe it and act on it. And tonight, we choose to believe Your Word. We thank You for it. It is life-giving, and we receive it as so. Tonight, in Jesus' name, we thank You for it. We believe You for it. We receive it as Your Word tonight, not as the words of man, but we receive it as Your Word personally to us tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen.